today it was a win for supporters of religious schools. By the count of 6-3, justices ruled that the state tuition program in Maine must include private religious schools. In a scathing dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that the court continues to dismantle the wall that separates church and state. Emily Bazelon is senior research scholar at Yale Law School and staff writer for the New York Times Magazine. Hi, Emily. Always good to speak with you.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and tell us about this law in Maine that would pay for non-religious private school tuition in rural communities where people don't have the option to send their kids to public secondary schools.
Yeah, so actually half of the school districts in Maine don't have public high schools that are local. And so Maine has a program that allows families to choose a private school and the state will pay for it. Maine, however, restricted choice to non-sectarian schools. And what the state said was that it didn't want to endorse religion by paying for religious instruction. The Supreme Court today said that that was itself unconstitutional.
Well, in fact, Chief Justice Roberts wrote for the majority that Maine's decision to exclude those religious schools promotes stricter separation of church and state than the federal constitution requires. What else can you tell us about why the court ruled the way it did?
The court is basically saying here that once a state has what the court calls a neutral benefits program in which public funds are flowing, that it can't exclude religious organizations, even if it wants to do so. And so this is resolving a tension between the Establishment Clause, which creates a wall between church and state in the Constitution, and the free exercise of religion that families were claiming. It's resolving that tension entirely in favor of freedom of religion and saying that basically there is no wall between church and state on this issue.
In fact, we quoted Justice Sotomayor, who went on to say that the decision leads the country to a place where separation of church and state becomes a constitutional violation. What points are the dissenting justices making?
Right. So Sotomayor was very strong on that issue. And Justice Breyer asked a couple of important questions, particularly about voucher programs. So given the court's reasoning today, if a state or a locality has a voucher program that pays for a private school but not religious school, does that program now have to include religious schools in voucher funding? And that is going to be a huge next issue, which I expect we'll see a case pretty soon posing that exact question.
Do you think that question will sort of be the impact of today's decision? I mean, trying to figure out what the decision across the, you know, will mean for other places around the country. Is that the crux of it right there?
Well, there are 37 states that bar state taxpayer funding for religious schools. And really, all of those state constitutional provisions are effectively being struck down or called into question by today's ruling. And then the question just becomes, how is that actually going to play out in American life? And this issue of vouchers and voucher programs and, you know, paying for religious schools through those, that would be a very expensive kind of public funding for religious instruction.
I suppose another question might be whether or not funding could flow to religious schools that aren't Christian.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't think the court is saying here that it's just Christian schools that will benefit. It will be a kind of, you know, pluralistic vision of religion in which, you know, Muslim schools, other religion schools would also be able to get funding. The distinction here is between non-religious and religious schools, not a particular kind of religion.
And stepping back for just a moment here, as Justice Sotomayor points out, the court has ruled in favor of Christian religious groups a number of times recently. It allowed the Trump administration to let employers with religious objections deny birth control coverage for workers. It also stopped restrictions on religious services during the pandemic in New York State. What do you think the big picture here is?
This is a very conservative majority on the Supreme Court, and it cares a lot about extending religious rights, basically, and religious freedom. So in the next term, we're going to see a challenge to laws that prevent discrimination against same-sex couples on the basis of religion. And I think we'll see future cases as well where people say, hey, because of my religion, I work in a pharmacy. I don't want to provide the pills that that allow for abortion. All those kinds of religion-based exceptions to discrimination, to laws that prevent discrimination or provide a kind of public service, I think we're going to see a very receptive conservative Supreme Court to those kinds of challenges.
Emily Bazelon is senior research scholar at Yale Law School and a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine. Thank you so much, as always, Emily, for speaking with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.